hooray for Hollywood indeed. Or maybe not. I don't know. It's been a pretty controversial time in Hollywood when the Oscar nominations were announced a couple of weeks ago. It did not go without notice that there were no African Americans or people of color nominated for Best Actor or Actress. We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff here on Maryland Morning. It's the first Friday of the month. Time for our monthly Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem with our two movie mavens, he said literally. So Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post, the film critic and a dear friend of the program. Nice to see you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Jed Dietz, who is the chief cook and bottle washer and a founder, executive director, and the guy who gets the donuts for everybody on Fridays at the Maryland Film Festival. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
So I don't even know where to start. I mean, there's just so much going on. Where I'd like to start is at Sundance, because you just got back, Jed, from Sundance. You go every year. Give us a little capsule summary of what you saw and the buzz on the street.
Well, so just to give you an idea, there were 13,000 submissions to Sundance this year. So this part of the filmmaking world is a completely different picture than what's happening in Hollywood with the studios. Just tremendous energy and artistic vigor all through the movie making, documentary and narrative side. There were some sensations there. There was a film that called Birth of a Nation, taking the title, a brand new Birth of a Nation, taking the title from the great 1915 D.W. Griffiths film, very racist and horrible in many ways, but great artistically and important. And this is made by Nate Parker, and it was the biggest sale in the history of Sundance. So, standing ovations opening night. I went to a press and industry screening that people were agog over this film. Nate, has been working on it for 10 years. It came out of the Sundance labs. So Sundance is full of surprises, and I would say, unlike this discussion going on in Hollywood, rightly so going on in Hollywood, I give the corporate entities in Hollywood credit for embracing the discussion and the Academy. But Sundance is highly diversified. The art form is highly diversified. Many women directors, people of color from all over the world. And it's one of the most amazing gatherings on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, Anne Hornaday, this is a completely different narrative
that's
coming out of Hollywood. I mean, Sundance and Hollywood, they're not that far apart.
And they're very interlocked in many ways, as that deal suggests. But I feel like in the last few years especially, we've seen this fascinating alternative parallel narrative emerging of autonomy and people not waiting around for permission from the gatekeepers to do their films. And I think it's personified the most by Ava DuVernay, who started life as a publicist and wanted to make her own films and started with a doc and then made I Will Follow and Middle of Nowhere. Middle of Nowhere won the directing award at Sundance a few years ago. That kind of vaulted her. You know, when you win those awards, it vaunts, the industry pays attention. And now, of course,
it gives you more opportunities. And
exactly.
That opportunity ended up being Selma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Coogler is another really great example. Yep. He did an amazing movie called Fruitvale Station. He did Creed this past year. We have people like Dee Reese with a lovely film called Pariah, who just did the Bessie Smith movie for HBO.
With Queen Latifah.
Andrew DeSanmu, I think, has come through the Sundance. You know, cinematographers like Brad Young. Anyway, these are people who, like I said, they're just not waiting around for people's permission. And then it's sort of up to Hollywood, if they're smart, to give them the resources they need to have to really have viable careers. But you know what? I kind of feel like with social media being what it is, they don't even, like Ava has such a following now, in terms of her social media presence and just her presence in the culture, that's power. I mean, that's just self-generated
it
power.
It is, but as Spike Lee said when he sort of started this debate, and that was joined by Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith and stuff, he basically says there's, for 2 years in a row,
yes,
in the acting category, there have been no people of color nominated. And he's not accusing people of being racist directly, but he's simply saying, how can that be?
Right.
Yes, 2 years in a row, right. And there's how many people nominated in those categories? I mean,
40. In those categories, zero.
Yeah, and there are zero people of color. I mean, how can that be, Jed Dietz?
Well, it shouldn't be, is the first thing to say. It's a very complicated voting system. To be nominated To be eligible, you have to go through a certain procedure. You have to, and I won't go through the whole thing, but you have to go open in LA and blah, blah, blah. And then to be nominated, to be selected by the Academy members once the list of eligible is selected, there's a very complicated system where you rank in the positions that you can vote for, and these actor positions are open to the whole Academy. They pick a number that is based on a formula, and then your ballots come in with 1, 2, and 3 in each category, and they fill them sequentially. So the second, you know, there can be a very worthy and very popular actor who gets bumped, or actress who gets bumped because they weren't number one on a lot of ballots, or they may have been number two on everybody's ballot and should have been in the five, because they do it by the ones first and then they fill those positions. So, should you change that system? The Academy itself is pretty male and pretty white. That goes back a long way, and that's a whole other discussion of how you get into the Academy. If you're nominated, you automatically get in. But other than that, there's a fairly complicated system of, passing certain bench posts, and it's different for mm-hmm. different divisions and stuff.
So. But Anne Hornaday, that is true. I mean, there are certain criteria that you have to meet in order to be able to vote for particular categories. I mean, I know I'm a member of NARIS, the National Association of Recording Arts and Sciences, so I'm a Grammy voter. And there are things that all of us are allowed to vote on, best
yes.
record and best song and all that. And then there's other stuff that only I can vote on because I was on a record that won a Grammy in the classical music
right.
division. So I'm limited in things that I can nominate and all that. 6,000 of the 7,000 members of the Academy are actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are zero nominees of people of color in the acting category. What does that mean? Because there is this notion that the Academy is just a bunch of Harvey Weinsteins and a bunch of, mm. wealthy white guys.
Mm.
But maybe not. I mean, maybe it's a lot more than a bunch of wealthy white guys.
Well, and I think, especially when you look at actresses this past year in 2015, mm. there really weren't that many. I mean, a lot of them did end up on HBO. And, when you look at the Emmys, you see Viola Davis, you see Latifah, you see all these people who are, were in Kerry Washington. Where were they? Where were the movies for them? I mean, a lot of it starts in the movies and the material that's made available to people to have great award-worthy performances in. And I feel like women of color last, actresses of color last year really didn't have those opportunities. There were some very standout supporting performances, in my view. But honestly, there weren't that many lead roles for women of color last year. So that's one issue. And in terms of the demographics of the Academy and how that plays out with what they deem fitting and what they notice and what they even watch to begin with, that's just, it's difficult, especially from Baltimore and from Washington, it's a very insular, hermetic organization. It's not that transparent. So
mm-hmm.
I don't have a good answer for that.
There's a new Coen Brothers movie out,
yes.
Hail Caesar,
yes.
which everyone says is a scream. It opens
yes.
today. I mean, people, you guys have both seen this movie, right? And
yes.
I hear it's incredibly funny, right?
Yes, very
yes.
funny. And
yes.
I recommend Anne's review today in the Post. Everybody should go read it. It's beautifully written on top
right.
of being hilarious.
So, a great movie, beautifully written, totally hilarious, no black actors.
All white, right. Exactly.
Well, 1951 Hollywood.
But, is
Harry Belafonte.
Exactly.
Lena Horne.
Lena Horne.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Louise Beavers. I mean, they could have, so it would not have stopped anyone, to have,
right.
It's an homage to old Hollywood. So they kind of go genre by genre and recreate these wonderful little genre pieces. And so it would not have been out of step at all to have
True.
A genre piece featuring something like that. This is their worldview. But I think what's interesting is, thanks to a campaign like an Oscars So White, thanks to the fact that we're having this conversation, people are bringing different lenses to this work. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel like 10 years ago, we would have looked at a Coen Brothers movie being all white and just, it wouldn't even be in the discussion.
Right.
So the fact that we're even bringing that lens now, is that an aesthetic element that dings it, in your view? Does that take you out of the film? That is an individual choice that everyone's going to have to make. But the fact that I think people are bringing that lens to it is great. I mean,
yep.
it just makes us more sophisticated as viewers.
Yep.
Anne Hornaday is the film critic for The Washington Post. Jed Dietz is the...
That.
Haven't gotten married yet. Although, that would be great for our ratings.
Only once a month on Fridays.
That would be great for our ratings. So if you would consider it, believe me, we can make things happen. Jed Dietz is the director of the Maryland... Film Festival on 88.1. It's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So, Jed, real quick, before we get into your prognostications about who's going to win the Oscars, which of the many white people are going to win the Oscars, the Academy's response to this, they are doing a few things. They're limiting the voting pool to people who've been active in the last 10 years, no more lifetime memberships. If you're not active, you know, after a period of 10 years, you don't vote anymore. Are those kind of fixes going to do anything? What do you think?
I can't figure it out. I mean, it doesn't seem to me to be addressing any of the problems. I mean, one of the things that Anne just talked about was available roles for African-American women. And one of the things that was so noticeable at Sundance is the first purchasers of films at Sundance were Netflix and Amazon. Mm. And the Academy has rules against eligibility for a film if they play television or these other medium first. They have to be theatrical first. And that is a rule, it seems to me, you start breaking that open, which I think artistically makes no sense. So if you just open it, then that'll make more films eligible.
You know, and interestingly enough, two of the strongest performances last year, one was in a Netflix movie, Idris Elba in yep. Beasts of No Nation, and another was Tiona Paris in Chirac, which was an Amazon, came out on Amazon. But, you know, both of them opened in theaters, either day and date or before their streaming.
Yeah, so Beasts of No Nation was available on Netflix the same day it was
correct.
Available in the theaters.
Yes.
But does that qualify then, Jed? I mean, or is that one of those gray areas?
I don't know,
yeah.
actually.
It wasn't nominated.
He won awards at SAG. So he's clearly getting honored.
Mm-hmm. But all right, let's talk about Best Picture. Here's one that wasn't nominated.
Like, y'all just got a snapshot of how Americans really feel. We gave the people a voice. We gave the people truth.
Yeah, but your songs, they glamorize the lifestyle of gangs, guns, drugs.
Our art is a reflection of our reality. What you see when you go outside your door?
I know what I see.
And it ain't glamorous.
You get AKs from Russia and cocaine from Colombia.
And ain't none of us got a passport, so
yeah.
Might want to check the source.
Yeah, next question.
Will you be more careful about what you say, how you say it?
No. Probably not.
Freedom of speech includes
a little clip from Straight Outta Compton. You were talking about Ryan Coogler. This is one of his movies.
This is F. Gary Gray.
Oh, F. Gary Gray.
Coogler
okay.
did Creed.
Oh, he did Creed. I'm sorry. So, you know, a very powerful movie that mm-hmm. got great reaction, but not on the list. But let's talk about the things that are on the list. So, the Best Picture nominations: The Big Short. Thing based on Michael Lewis's thing about the financial industry, Bridge of Spies, that's a Spielberg movie, Brooklyn, that great Irish story by Colm Tobin, Mad Max Fury Road, that's an interesting inclusion, The Martian, that's what's his name, Matt Damon floating around by himself,
Ridley Scott directing,
The Revenant, Leo DiCaprio's big star vehicle about getting chewed up by a bear, Room, which is an incredible movie, I haven't seen yet, but everyone says it's incredible. It's a boy and his mother sort of kept in captivity.
Yep.
Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
In a thing? And then Spotlight, that great ensemble movie about the Boston Globe's investigation of the Catholic Church. This is a very, very good group of movies, mm-hmm. you know, to be sure. To get on that list in a year like this, not easy. But Anne, what do you think? Who's going to win?
I'm still rooting for Spotlight. I mean, the Best Picture race is very, very tight, and it's very up in the air. And it seems to be kind of a three-way race between Big Short, Revenant, and Spotlight. And by far, I prefer Spotlight. I mean, I've been a big Spotlight fan since you know the beginning of the season, and I'm sticking by I'm going to die on that hill.
And it did Spotlight win one forever. Just last week or something.
Yeah, it?
It
won the Ensemble Award at SAG, which sometimes
it's
people
the Screen
feel,
Actors Guild.
Screen
right?
Actors Guild, exactly. And a lot of people think that there's some. There is often a correlation between that award because of what you said in terms of the actors dominating, being the biggest branch of the Academy, the degree to which that population overlaps with the SAG voting population sometimes can give you a clue as to, I mean, it's not, you know, it's imperfect as a correlation, but mm-hmm. there's a little something there. It's still in the Spotlight is definitely still in the hunt.
Mm-hmm. And Jed Dietz, a lot of people are putting their money on The Revenant, which is a movie that's gotten mixed critical reaction and mixed reaction from, you know, lay people who've seen it, who just get grossed out by watching people get eaten up by bears. But this has a shot, doesn't it?
Well, for sure it does. And I think DiCaprio is a lock for Best Actor. Of the sort of big studio, the director's using every tool currently available to a filmmaker. To me, of that group, the one of that of those two would be Mad Max, which is a really great adventure. I saw it in 3D. It's a terrific movie. I would argue a significantly better movie than Revenant.
And that's a star vehicle for Charlize.
Absolutely.
Theron.
Yes. Yeah.
And Tom Hardy is the male lead, but it's a very female-centric movie, too, but beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. So actor in a leading role, Bryan Cranston for Trumbo, Matt Damon for The Martian, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Revenant, Michael Fassbender in Steve Jobs, the biopic, and Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl. Some of those movies not heard of in other categories, you know, Trumbo and The Danish Girl, or even Steve Jobs, but still a pretty competitive category.
If
DiCaprio's a lock, but still,
he's a lock.
Some other pretty good actors.
I wasn't crazy about Redmayne's performance in Danish Girl, and as much as I know we all love Bryan Cranston, I probably could have easily let him go and put some other people in there. But it's obviously Leo's year, so.
Yeah, all right. How about the actresses? Cate Blanchett in Carol, Brie Larson, the woman who stars in Room, Jennifer Lawrence, terrific actress, in Joy, Charlotte Rampling in 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan in Brooklyn. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right. Is that a competitive category, Jed?
It is competitive. I think Brie Larson is the odds-on favorite based on what's happened in awards. I haven't seen 45 Years. I'm going to see it tonight. It opens at the Charles, but I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. That's all the time we have, and I appreciate you guys coming, and we will be glued to our TV sets, to be sure, at the end of the month. I guess it's the 28th of February.
Yeah.
The Oscars on ABC Television.
So then Jed we can Dietz, Monday morning quarterback.
Yes,
when
we will.
Back.
And oh gosh, oh, don't you know we fun. Will? That's right. Jed Dietz and Ann Hornaday. You're listening to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. Appreciate your being with us. Stick around. There's plenty more coming up.